kill him.
Hello?
Dick.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm just fine, Inspector. You still in Texas?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good. How are you feeling?
Well, I'm just feeling fine. Got good reports.
It came out all right, huh?
Yes. There's been no, we have a little problem, but there's no discomfort at all. Just something you look at, and no change since, we think since 63, and we know since 66. Dick, first tell Rosemary, whoever your schedule is, to let us know where you are, give us kind of an itinerary, or who will know any time, because I may need to talk to you any time. There's not any thing that I anticipate or any emergency or anything, but if it's all right, I think it'll just be prudence to...
who is it that we just let your...
Let just call White House Switchboard, or...
White House Switchboard.
And just tell them that Vice President Nixon, here's his schedule, or have your, whoever handled your schedule, just give it to them, or tell them that your headquarters, something we called someplace today and we didn't. What I called you about is not too important, but it followed through on what I told you the other day. The friend of ours abroad that was asking for permission has notified me that he is going on to Bogota, but that he is not going to Hanoi. And he implied or indirectly said through the third party that came to me that it was because he had requested and been refused.
Huh.
Now, I think it would be a major error for us to divulge that.
I know you won't,
but I think you ought to get the implications. It shows these people are not very anxious to even have any discussions at this
point. I wanted you to know, I had a little press conference today, and they asked me about Clark Clifford's statement about the bombing pause. They said that it wasn't my view. And I think I just revealed that that position was exactly the one now that the president disclosed was our position. That I have, I didn't before, but I said as far as I was concerned, that, as I think I used this term, that I think that the United States has gone the extra mile in indicating that any step on the part of the enemy, indicating that they would de-escalate, if we would de-escalate, would be reciprocated. But that I didn't feel that we could take a step unless there was reciprocation and endanger the lives of those men. I just want you to know that that's the line I've taken.
Yes, I think your position has been a sound one, and I think that it's in your interest very much, and in the country, and I think in freedom. I had a letter today from a man that was formerly involved very deeply in this, and he was suggesting a bombing pause, and the reasons that he gave for the bombing pause, for stopping the bombing now, were the identical reasons that he had given for stopping the bombing in the 37-day pause. Now, I believe we added up today, there's either six or eight times we have stopped the bombing in the, what they call the bombing pause. On the 37-day one, we stopped the 37 days. We didn't touch them, and they just got more ferocious. The last time we stopped the bombing was on Buddha's birthday. And that's when they launched the Tet Offensive. So if...
Even this time, stop that they, of course, have talked, but on the other hand, they're still building up.
On the McCarthy thing, I don't know whether you're interested, but I asked the Security Council to give me an analysis of McCarthy's 7 points. You can make a note of them if you want to. This is confidential, but I'll just read it to you quickly. One, immediate halting the bombing of North Vietnam. That's his proposal. Here's the Security Council's analysis. The United States is prepared to halt the bombing whenever there is any reasonable assurance that Hanoi will not take advantage of such cessation to improve its military posture of aggression against South Vietnam. Two, reduce the level of conflict in the South by halting search and destroy operations. Well, it takes two to fight. It takes two to make peace, unless one chooses to surrender. The senator's proposal would change the nature of the conflict, but not the level. In time, such a defensive strategy as the senator proposes would inevitably lead to military defeat by requiring us to hold fire until the enemy assembles and attacks the cities. 3, we will not further widen the war by increasing our forces or extending the conflict geographically. Despite the major increases in Hanoi's forces in South Vietnam, the U.S. has no intention of extending the conflict geographically. 4,
he's referring there, I suppose, to Laos.
Yes, and Cambodia, and 4, gaining an agreement from all parties that free elections will be held. Well, the United States has already endorsed free elections in South Vietnam on the basis one man, one vote. The government of South Vietnam has endorsed free elections on the same terms. Under their constitution, they have held a national election which proportion of voters parallel the number who vote in the United States. Furthermore, the president has stated that all those who forego violence and accept the Constitution can not only vote but run for office. Hanoi has refused, preferring the bullet to the ballot in South Vietnam. 5, establishing through negotiations an interim coalition government to prepare for elections. Withdraw our support if the government of South Vietnam does not agree. This proposal is the arrogance of would-be power. The government of the United States believes in governments elected by the people. We do not believe in governments negotiated by outsiders. By our ultimatum against the wishes of a majority of the people, the government of Vietnam accepts the principle one man, one vote. 6, holding elections with all groups permitted to organize political parties under international supervision. It has been consistently the position of our government that the future South Vietnam should be determined peacefully by the South Vietnamese, free from coercion, external or internal, under appropriate international guarantees. U.S. policy is designed to achieve that objective, and the senator's proposal would preclude this possibility. 7, the selected government will be free to determine its future with regard to other nations, including North Vietnam. It has consistently been the position of the U.S. government that the relation between North Vietnam and South Vietnam is a matter to be determined by the Vietnamese themselves. At Honolulu, the president proposed the normalization of relations between Saigon and Hanoi when peace was established. In short, this is their comment now. What is good in the senator's proposed platform plank is not new. What is new is a prescription for disaster for the people of South Vietnam and all Southeast Asia in the form of an ultimatum that is repugnant to all this nation stands for. Now that's what the security staff answered it. Rusk had these comments on the 7. 1.
This security staff, that did not, was that put out?
No, this is just their analysis of his 7 points for me. And I just gave it to you. I'm not going to get out with it, but it just shows you, it gives you analysis. Now here's Rusk's comments on McCarthy platform.
Publicly?
No. He's in a fighting mood, and you may wish to unleash him at the right time. That's what the comment from my office said. 1, some comments on the McCarthy platform should be found in the draft speech. Is this platform being submitted as an ultimatum to the platform committee? Adopted or accepted with full flight? What ultimatum have the proponents in mind? Surrender to us on Vietnam or we will bolt the party? Is not all this contempt? Why do the proponents not say what they mean? For example, instead of saying halt the bombing in North Vietnam, why don't they say you should stop bombing men and arms? Now listen to this. Why don't, instead of saying halt the bombing of North Vietnam, you can take this if you want to, I think it's a good phrase. Why don't they say you should stop bombing men and arms moving southward across the DMZ to kill U.S. and allied forces, unquote. Now that's what it means, Dick. That's all, that's in one sentence. We said if they will assure us that they won't move across and kill these men, while we stop, we'll stop. But they say, no, you stop so we can go and kill them. Now that's the net of it. 4, if it is proposed to impose a coalition government on South Vietnam when its proponents know, as they already must know, that this is wholly unacceptable to the majority of South Vietnam, is not the real object of the proposal to provide a pretext for the main purpose, namely the withdrawal of U.S. forces, whatever the consequences for Vietnam or Southeast Asia. It's just a pretext for saying turn it over to the commies. That's all it is. Five. That's right. Five, if there's any interest in peace in Southeast Asia, why does the proposal fail to include, one, complete compliance with the Geneva Accords on Laos of 62, two, cessation of North Vietnamese guerrilla action against Thailand, three, respect by the forces of both sides for the neutrality and territorial integrity of Cambodia. Four, why does the proposal not underline the necessity for talks between Hanoi and the elected government of South Vietnam? Six, does the Democratic Party now want to say to Hanoi, don't make peace with President Johnson, continue the war, and see whether the Democratic Party would elect a Mendes France who could give them South Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia all at one time?
I don't blame him for being that. You know, the thing is that I thought this fellow killed himself with that stupid business, that list of the captains.
Oh, it was.
I thought that something.
Well, I'm not concerned except that they have taken his signals and will for 4 or 5 days and they have their hopes up a little. But the reason I read these analyses to you, I thought it was in effect another briefing of the experts' reactions to these questions that are being proposed, so you would have information that
the point is that naturally I'm not going to say anything on this, but if there is a change in position, that's what I need to know.
You will. But I wanted you to have their views, because if you shared them, of course you could express any time you want to as your own.
I will.
And it's pretty good. Now, I know you're feeling as we are. We're going out and have a little service here of all the men on the base and all the Secret Service and for President Eisenhower.
Yeah.
We're going to say prayers for him. And
what is your report? I haven't heard.
The last report is that they have the thing stabilized and he's been doing a little better, but it's still very critical.
It is electric.
Yes. Yes.
He must have amazing spirit.
They heard that he even
told a little joke or something.
They say that he had a good sense of humor. And, well, I just got him movies in there last week, and I got a letter from him today, a long letter, saying that they had told him that they'd bring him in movies and show him there in the hospital and try to get his mind to... he just got the most remarkable comeback. The second heart attack killed most people. He just has them by numbers. I just want you to know about the Pope. So that one's out, and that, I think, is a pretty good reflection, Dick, that they're waiting to see if they can hornswoggle somebody into a better deal here.
Sure. Well, the thing that I've been saying constantly is that either nobody in either part, that no candidate for president can responsibly signal the enemy, elect me, boys, wait, and elect me, and you're going to get a better deal.
That's right.
If you do that, you destroy the possibility to negotiate a settlement now.
Well, you've taken the position that's best for your country and your soldiers out there, and I've got two of them that are pretty close to me, and 525,000 more are awfully important. And so I'll be in touch with you, and
that's awfully good of you to call, and I'll see that the White House operator has a number where we can be reached at all times.
Thank you, Dick.
Thank you very much.
Remember me to Agnew when you see him.
I sure will. Bye.